This is Audible.
Defiance Audio presents Simon R. Green's Deathstalker Rebellion. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, and Colleen Delaney. With special guest performer Thomas Penny. Episode 4, Voices in the Dark. It gets strange out on the rim. The starship Dauntless hammered through the darkness, a small silver speck in the long night. Captain John Silence sat in his command chair on the Dauntless's bridge, staring somberly at the main view screen before him. Not that there was much to see on the view screen. This latest tour of duty had brought him right to the edge of the rim, where the normality of suns and planets and life gave way to the endless empty dark of the dark void, which knew nothing of light and life. Except for the Wolfling world, whose mysterious depths held an army of reborn Hayden men and the beginnings of a new rebellion. The Wolfling world was a dangerous place, and Silence had decided very firmly that he wasn't going back there without the entire Imperial fleet to back him up. The Dauntless was very alone, and sometimes that loneliness seemed almost too much to bear. Half the crew were taking tranquilizers or dosing themselves with illicit booze. Silence turned a blind eye. They all needed a little something extra to help them survive the soul-deep cold of the long night. Everyone except Frost, of course. Investigator Frost stood at parade rest beside Silence's command chair, as calm and composed as always. Frost always preferred to be doing something, and the long weeks of inactivity out on the edge of the rim had been hard on her. It was a long way between the few alien planets, even with the new star drive, and Frost was frankly bored. Personally, Silence felt he could live with a little boredom. His mission had seemed straightforward enough when Lionstone outlined it for him. Patrol those planets in the Empire dominated by sentient alien species, and make it clear to them that they were to have no contact with any alien forces from outside the Empire, or any rebel forces within it. Make promises of increased support on the one hand, and threats of dire reprisals for disobedience on the other. The carrot and the bloody big stick. Only a few more planets to visit, and their mission would be officially over, though whether they would be allowed to return to the more inhabited sectors of the Empire remained to be seen. They knew too many things the Empress didn't want discussed. On the whole, Silence had chosen to let Frost take charge of the alien contacts. It was her area of expertise, after all. And if he was sometimes uncomfortable with some of her more extreme practices, he kept it to himself. Silence's frown deepened as he considered the contacts he'd made with the alien planet so far. Few had gone well. Life had taken many shapes and purposes throughout the Empire, and few of them were human in form or intent. Silence wasn't sure some of them even knew they were in the Empire. Shanna IV was a desolate world, with endless plains of hard-baked ground, and its only water deep underground. A huge, brilliant sun beat down from a blinding sky that had never known clouds, and the only signs of intelligent life were the huge pyramids of resin-hardened stone and sand, built long ago by the planet's only inhabitants. Each pyramid was exactly like all the others, though they might be thousands of miles apart. 400 feet high, their lines were sharp, and their dull red sides were smooth and featureless. No one knew what was inside them, or even if there was an inside. None of the Empire's investigative teams had been able to find an entrance. Being investigators, they tried making one, only to discover the pyramid's smooth sides were impervious to anything the Empire could throw against them, up to and including major energy weapons. Which should have been impossible for resin-hardened stone and sand. Eventually, the Empire decided it didn't really care what was inside the pyramids after all, and concentrated its attention on the planet's current inhabitants, who might or might not have been the builders of the pyramids. These were ugly, hard-shelled insects, about the size of a man's fist, with razor-sharp mandibles and entirely too many legs. They seemed to have no individual identity, but en masse they were capable of producing a group mind that could, with some difficulty, be communicated with. Which was just as well, as the horrible scuttling things were also capable, with a little prodding, of producing a great many organic compounds the Empire found useful. So the Empire provided the base materials, the insects ate and excreted it, and possibly did other things to it in their pyramids when no one was looking, and the end result was a series of extremely complex chemical forms that would be hideously expensive to reproduce in a laboratory. The Empire profited, the insects got protection from outside influences, but were otherwise left strictly alone, and everyone was happy. Or at least, no one complained. Captain Silence and Investigator Frost stood at the base of one of the massive pyramids, waiting for the insect's representative to make an appearance. The day was as hot as a blast furnace and twice as dry. The air shimmered, and the sun was too bright to look at, even with the heavy-duty protection over their eyes. Silence turned up the cooling elements in his uniform another notch and screwed his eyes up against the harsh, unrelenting light. Silence didn't look at Frost. He just knew she still looked cool and calm and completely undisturbed. In the end, curiosity got the better of him, and he looked casually around, just in time to see her kick out lazily at one of the many small forms scuttling around their feet. It flopped over onto its back, its long legs wriggling, and then somehow turned itself over again and hurried on about its business.
Ugly things. Desolate bloody place. If the representative doesn't turn up soon, I'm going to start using these nasty little creepy crawlies for target practice.
Well, that should get their attention. Do I detect a note of distaste in your voice, Investigator? I thought you were trying to take all forms of alien life in stride.
There's a limit to everything. And I think I may have found mine. Repulsive little things. If one even looks like it might be thinking of darting up my leg, I'm going to blast it, and everything like it for a dozen yards around. I had more than enough of that inside the alien ship over Golgotha.
Silence looked at her carefully. If it had been anyone else, he would have sworn there was a note of remembered horror in her voice. The interior of the alien ship had been horrible enough, certainly. He still had nightmares. But investigators were trained from childhood to give nightmares, not suffer from them. He considered his words carefully, and when he finally spoke, he looked off in a different direction.
It was bad inside the alien ship. All those insects, all sizes, all around us and no way out. Enough to give anyone the creeps.
You're about as subtle as a flying half-brick, you know that? But thanks for the thought.
Silence looked back at her. She was smiling, but it didn't touch her eyes. He shrugged.
If you ever need someone to talk to...
I'll bear it in mind. But any problems I might have are mine, and I'll handle them.
That's what I thought when the booze was drowning me inch by inch. You helped me out anyway.
You didn't know how to ask for help.
Neither do you.
Frost's eyes softened slightly, and Silence thought for a moment that she was closer to opening up to him than she had ever been before. But the moment passed, and the softness disappeared, and Frost was an investigator again, cold and focused, and quite impenetrable. Silence looked away.
You have to make allowances for the insect representatives. According to the files, they have little concept of time as we understand it. Useful though the files are, however, they don't have anything at all to say about how you get the bloody insect's attention in the first place.
We could kill a few. Hell, we could kill a lot. Nobody'd miss them.
Let's save that for a last resort. There must be something a little less drastic we could try.
And then he broke off as a wave of insects came surging toward him, thick and black like a living carpet. His hand dropped to the disruptor at his side. Frost already had hers out and was sweeping it back and forth, searching for a meaningful target. The wave crashed to a sudden halt a few feet short of them and began piling up into a tall, thick pillar of squirming bodies. The twitching legs folded around each other and were still, the small bodies fitting neatly together like the interlocking parts of some more complicated machine. And gradually, the pillar took on a humanoid form, a dark, shiny shape that mocked humanity as much as it duplicated it. The square, flat-sided head turned jerkily on its thick neck to look at Silence and Frost, though there was no trace of anything that might have been eyes. It buzzed briefly, a short, ugly, and completely inhuman sound. It buzzed again, and suddenly, though the sounds hadn't changed, Silence and Frost somehow understood it. Said the dark human shape, though there was nothing that might have been a mouth. Frost put her gun away and tried to look as though she'd never drawn it in the first place.
Yes, we represent the Empire. You've been informed why we're here.
There was an Empire base on Shanna 4, populated by a handful of scientists and a small force of guards, who'd all managed to upset someone really badly to get themselves posted here, but they had as little contact with the resident aliens as they could get away with. They might have arranged this meeting, or they might not have. It was that kind of base. Silence stared at the humanoid figure, and it stared right back at him. Though there was no trace of eyes on the flat, shiny face, Silence had no doubt the insect representative was watching him. He could feel the weight of its stare, like an icy breeze in the boiling heat of the day. The insects that made up the human shape twitched suddenly, hundreds of legs flexing briefly, so that a shimmer seemed to run through the figure, and then it was still again. Silence winced as a headache blossomed slowly between his eyes. It was as though he could almost see or hear something that was being hidden from him. He concentrated on the feeling and realized it felt something like the link that he shared with Frost. He glanced at her to see if she felt it too. She was scowling, but there was nothing unusual in that. Certainly, she didn't seem as disturbed as he felt. He tried to grasp the vague feeling and bring it into focus, but it slipped away, like water between his fingers, and was gone. He still had the headache, though.
Got it in a nutshell. Anyone tries to contact you, rebel or alien, you tell them to go to hell and then report them to the base immediately. Understand?
Rebels avoid punishment. Chemicals interrogation. Respond.
Silence would have shivered had he not been boiling alive in his own sweat. There was something about the way each word seemed to emanate from different parts of the dark human shape that upset him greatly. He made himself concentrate on his job.
Yes, we've got your chemicals. They're being unloaded in the usual place. The regular supply ship will be along to pick up the compounds you've produced.
A question occurred to him, and he decided to ask it before he could think better of it.
We have a use for those compounds, but what do you get out of the deal?
There was a long pause until Silence assumed the construct wasn't going to answer him. Then it said two words and fell apart before Silence could respond. The human shape disintegrated from the top down, tumbling into hundreds of its respective parts, which hit the ground running and scuttled off in different directions. In a few moments, they were indistinguishable from those who were already covering the ground, and Silence wasn't at all sorry to see the back of them. Particularly after the two words the figure had spoken. Chemicals. Addictive. He looked at Frost, who was still staring thoughtfully at the insects scuttling around her on their inscrutable, incomprehensible missions.
Do you suppose they have any concept at all of themselves as individuals? Or only when they gather together like that?
No one knows for sure. They're supposed to have a single hive mind for the whole species, but no one's been able to prove anything one way or the other. Our instruments can't detect anything, and espers just get really bad headaches when they try to listen in. The constructs are our only way of communicating with them, and they tell us as little as they can get away with.
What about the scientists at the base?
They spend most of their time trying to get themselves transferred somewhere else, and I don't blame them one bit. This place gives me the creeps.
Silence kept his features under control, but it was a near thing. He couldn't have been more surprised if the investigator had admitted to secret pacifist leanings. For Frost to admit that the place made her feel uncomfortable, it must really be getting to her. And that wasn't like Frost at all. He decided to do them both a favor and change the subject. Did you know the chemicals we supply these insects with are addictive?
No, but it makes sense. If the insects are a single hive mind, they're scattered far too widely for us to be able to hurt or control them. But withholding chemicals to which they've developed a dependency should do the trick nicely. A junkie will do anything for his next fix.
Very efficient. But then, the Empire's always been a great believer in efficiency. And if it can work a little cruelty into the deal, too, so much the better. He looked around him at the thousands of small scuttling forms, working blindly and obediently in the blistering heat to meet the Empire's needs. If he saw any connection between them and him, he kept it to himself. The last planet they visited was Epsilon 9, and that meant hard suits. The gravity was 5 times standard. The air was a mixture of extremely noxious gases, any one of which would have been fatal on its own, and the air density was uncannily like the pressure of water you find at the bottom of a deep ocean trench. On top of all that, the entire world was a mass of goo, thick, slimy mud that covered the planet's surface from pole to pole. In some places, it was only a couple of feet deep, and that was called land. Either way, it was messy as hell. There were hills that rose up suddenly overnight, and then spent the rest of the day collapsing and sliding away. There were huge artificial constructs here and there that might have been buildings or machines or both or neither. The native intelligence species created them when they felt like it, though they declined to explain out of what or what their purpose might be. The muck itself contained a handful of extremely rare and useful trace elements, and these were refined from the goo by specially designed automated mining machinery from the Empire. People couldn't live on Epsilon 9, even inside a fully screened base. Human-built structures inevitably sank and had to be constantly retrieved, which cost money. The mining equipment worked only because the natives looked after it. No one knew much about the native species. They appeared to be the only living things on Epsilon 9. Which raised some interesting and rather unpleasant questions about what they ate. They had a mysterious link to their mucky environment that allowed them to thrive and prosper, but they weren't big on explaining that, or indeed anything else. They kept to themselves and did really nasty and inventive things to trespassers. Silence and Frost journeyed down to what passed for the planet's surface in a pinnace, which ended up hovering in midair while Silence and Frost dropped awkwardly out of the airlock in their hard suits. They landed knee-deep in the sludge and slogged slowly through the thick mud, slipping and sliding and holding on to each other for support. There was something vaguely solid under their heavy boots, but it rose and fell unpredictably beneath the covering goo. The slime came in varying shades of gray, much like the sky above, which was disorienting to say the least. Sky blended into surface almost imperceptibly, which did strange things to Silence's sense of orientation. Things like up and down, left and right, forward and backward, ceased being absolutes, and became more like matters of opinion. The last time Silence had felt like this, he'd been drunk for a week. He slogged along beside Frost, the hard suit's servo mechanisms whining loudly as they struggled to overcome the planet's heavy gravity. Silence took a quiet satisfaction from the obvious difficulties Frost was having in plowing through the thick mud. It was good to know that even investigators had their limits. They waited on for some time, while their surroundings rose and fell without any obvious meaning or purpose. Frost led the way with dogged determination. Silence supposed she knew where she was going, but didn't ask, just in case she didn't. He liked to think that at least one of them knew what they were doing. The pinnace hovered high overhead, far enough away not to intimidate any of the locals,
but still close enough to come charging in for an emergency rescue if necessary. Silence was getting tired fast. Even with the hard suit's servo mechanisms to help, the constant struggle to stay upright while pressing on was exhausting. According to his suit's instruments, the local temperature was high enough to melt some metals. He was sweating like a pig despite everything the hard suit's temperature controls could do, and the lack of a proper horizon made his head hurt. He was so taken up with his own inner world of hurts and confusions that he only just noticed in time that Frost had come to a halt. He avoided crashing into her through a heroic last-minute effort, and then had to fight to keep his feet under him. He took a few deep breaths to settle himself, and then looked around. The place they'd arrived at didn't seem noticeably any different from any of the others they'd plowed through to get here. There was no sign of any of the alien constructs, just a large hill to their left, slumping over like melting ice cream.
Is this it?
Insofar as there is an it, yes. These are the right coordinates, anyway. You know, this place is really disgusting. It looks like someone sneezed it into being.
Silence winced.
You've always had a way with words, Investigator. Now what do we do?
Now we wait for someone to put in an appearance, which, knowing this place, will undoubtedly take some time. Maybe we should have brought a bucket and spade.
And then she broke off, as the mud before them bubbled up into a thick, dribbling pillar, like a slow-motion fountain. Silence and Frost both trained their suits' disruptors on the pillar as it bulged and contracted here and there, finally forming into a human shape, complete in every detail, including clothes. Though the clothes were made of the same mud as the body, the figure actually looked quite snappy in formal evening wear, and for a moment Silence felt almost overdressed in his hard suit. He made himself concentrate on the figure's face. It was gray and sweated driblets of mud, but the features were indisputably human. The eyes focused on Silence and then on Frost, and the mouth twitched in a smile.
Before you ask, no, I don't really look like this. You are looking at a mental projection, formed from handy nearby materials. Trust me, you don't want to see what I really look like. Not unless you're into projectile vomiting, which I would assume could get really messy inside one of those suits. Human senses are too limited to appreciate my true beauty.
He folded his dripping arms across his sliding chest and gave them a moment to think about that.
Now, what do you people want this time? I'm busy. And don't ask me what at. You couldn't possibly hope to understand.
If you're this planet's idea of a diplomat, I'd hate to meet your politicians. How is it you speak our language so well?
I don't. I'm communicating directly with your mind, which is slumming for me. But we all have to make sacrifices if we're to keep the gods happy. Little joke there, to put you at your ease.
You're telepathic? That wasn't in the files.
Nothing so primitive. We are communicating directly, though your minds are too limited to pick up most of what I'm transmitting.
The figure stopped and frowned.
Though I have to say, you seem much more receptive than most.
Save the compliments. We're here on business.
Well, I didn't think you were tourists. What does the Empire want this time?
Rebels and aliens. Don't talk to them. If anyone tries, contact your nearest Imperial spy satellite. Any alliances with unauthorized forces will result in severe punitive measures.
And what might those be? Going to arrest us, perhaps? Not unless you can build prisons in five dimensions. Or perhaps you'll take away some of our lovely mud. Help yourselves. We've got tons of the bloody stuff.
Frost raised her right hand and triggered the disruptor built into her glove and vaporized the mudman's head. Silence started to object and then stopped himself. He didn't approve of unnecessary killing, but this was the investigator's show. She was best qualified to decide what was necessary to get her point across. The mudman should have been more respectful, damn it. An insult to them was an insult to the Empress. And then he realized the headless body hadn't slumped to the ground. It stood just where it had, as though nothing had happened. Liquid mud bubbled in the stump of the neck, and then rose up suddenly to form itself into a new head. The same face quickly appeared, and the mudman glared at Frost.
I see Imperial diplomacy hasn't changed much since its last visit. plus 7 points for brutality, minus several thousand for severe lack of cool. Never mind barbarians at the gate, they've already taken over. Just once I wish they'd send us a representative slightly higher up the food chain. I've had more interesting conversations with a piece of moss. You humans should be bloody grateful my species is physically linked to the planet's ecosystem. If we could leave this world, we'd be running the Empire inside a week.
But you can't, and you don't. So remember what I told you. No talking to any strange men or aliens, or we'll work out some way to give you all a good spanking. Right, that's it. We're going. Have fun playing with your mud.
I don't see any need for sexual slanders. Please feel free to leave our world any time. Goodbye.
Silence started to turn to leave, and then stopped as he realized Frost hadn't moved. He couldn't see her face inside her helmet, but he knew she was staring thoughtfully at the figure made out of mud. He could feel it. The link between them seemed suddenly very strong, and he knew without having to be told what was running through her mind. She wanted to see the real alien, the real shape and being that lay behind the image of the Mud Man, the reality behind the mask.
Cut it out, Frost. We don't need to know.
He doesn't respect us. He doesn't fear us. I want to know why.
Listen to your partner. You really don't want to do this. This image is all you're capable of understanding. The reality of what I and my kind are would destroy your limited minds.
He stopped abruptly and frowned at Frost.
What are you doing? Your mind is uncoiling. There's more to you than there was before. You're not human. What are you?
Frost stared back at him, her brows furrowed as she concentrated, reaching inside herself for a strength and vision she hadn't realized she possessed. There was something more beyond the Mud Man, something bigger, vaster. The sheer size of it made her head ache, but she wouldn't look away. It was deep down in the mud, under the surface of the world, and it was rising slowly out of the depths toward her. It had length and width and breadth, and other dimensions too. And perhaps just to look on it with merely human eyes would be enough to turn her to stone, like a butterfly caught in Medusa's gaze. But she couldn't, wouldn't look away. She had to see, had to know. Silence grabbed her by the shoulders of her hard suit, spun her around, and shook her as hard as he could.
Don't look at it. I can see what you're seeing, and it's dangerous. We're not ready to look at something like this. Just the sight of it would burn the eyes out of our heads and blast our reason. Look away, investigator. That's an order.
He reached out with his mind, not quite knowing how he was doing what he was doing, and slowly forced Frost's inner eye shut. The image of what lay beyond and below the Mud Man was suddenly gone, and the heightened link between Silence and Frost shrank back to its normal background murmur.